Actress Diane Guerrero is best known for playing inmate Maritza Ramos on the Netflix series Orange is the New Black. I mean, who could forget that catchy slogan in season one where Maritza ran for the Women's Prison Council?
If you want more pizza, vote for Maritza. I like pizza. Everyone likes pizza.
Well, Diane Guerrero is also politically active off-screen. She speaks out on behalf of undocumented immigrants who've been deported. And it's an issue that she knows well. Guerrero is an American citizen by birth, but when she was 14, she returned home one day from school, and the house was empty. Her Colombian-born parents were gone. They'd been arrested by immigration officials, and eventually they were deported. Guerrero spent the rest of her high school years living with friends and trying to make her way in the world. Diane Guerrero tells her story in the new memoir. It's called In the Country We Love, My Family Divided. And she joins us in the studio to talk about it. Diane Guerrero, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me, Meghna. It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, it's an honor to talk with you. I'm a huge fan of the show. But when I read the story, your story, mm-hmm. and the story of your family, I was utterly blown away because there is so much about it that obviously resonates with millions of people in the country today. So let's tell them a little bit of the story, because you start the book with the day, the very day that your parents were taken away from you.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it started like an ordinary day. So can you tell us about what happened?
That day I went to school and, you know, I was having a fabulous day, of course, because I was in an art school and I was doing what I loved. And, you know, I had this solo. I had gotten a duet in school. And so I was really excited. And I was running home from school. And then I just decided to call my parents just to tell them that I was coming home soon. And they didn't pick up. So I started panicking right away. And I just felt something was off. And when I got home, they were gone.
And it was just like your house was empty.
My house was empty. Yeah. You know, my mother's day had begun, and I it looked like they had come home for a second, and the neighbor came by and told me what had happened, and I think I remember just breaking down, you know, crying. I kind of went crazy for a little bit, you know. I just kept crying and then, you know, kind of composing myself and saying, okay, what's my next move, and like crying again, I don't know what's my next move. And I called a few people. I called, one of those people was my best friend and her mother. And I just hid under the bed until they got there. I don't know what I was afraid of. I was just afraid of being taken away myself. But it was scary because I didn't know what was coming. You know, if they were coming for me, if like I was going to go with social services or, but of course no one ever came. And so I was there by myself.
Because you're a citizen.
I am a citizen, but it was also like they didn't know that I existed or anything, because we waited, you know, my friend's mother and my friend waited there with me, and no one came by. So we just assumed that I guess they don't know you're here. So I guess you can come with us. And so I did. And then eventually I spoke to my parents and we made an arrangement. And my friend's mother was so kind and she took me in. And fortunately we went to the same high school. So we just kind of continued that way. And
but what was it like living with family friends as you finished high school? Because I mean, you write about how you know, even though they were family friends, you still felt like a guest and were concerned that if anything went wrong that you'd have to suddenly find a new place to stay.
Yeah, well, they never made me feel that way. That was just me, holding
inside of you,
inside me. Yeah, and that's because, you know, I was raised to be very respectful and I also was my parents also raised me with a lot of love and kind of just like let me be who I wanted to be, you know. And so when you go into a new home that's not your own, you know, you kind of have to put that to the side and say, okay, I have to obey the rules, I have to play by the rules, and I don't want to shake anything up because I don't want to be disrespectful in other people's homes. But I grew up with them. So they were my homies, you know, like, yeah. I mean, it was totally cool. I mean, I think at first I was really always trying to please them. But I think I still do that. Even when I go back now, I want to please them and I want them to feel good about me being over there, you know, but I'm lucky. Not everyone has that. There are millions of children that are left behind and are homeless, mm-hmm. or are taken into different group homes and often fall through the cracks and, you know, feel like they have no direction and really no prospects. And then they end up in this like cycle of depression and poverty and, you know, they drop out of school or what have you. You know, not everyone has a story like mine in this situation. And I really believe that it was because of these families who were there for me every step of the way and treated me like their own.
On the other hand, because of the fact that that your parents had been arrested, it feels like they missed so many important milestones that a young woman goes through in high school, like your high school graduation, concerts, you know, whatever you could think of. Did that, I mean, what effect did that have on you?
Oh my God, honey, it had every effect on me, especially when I was really developing as an artist and having thoughts about maybe pursuing a career in the arts. And once they left, I think that light sort of dim down a bit because your whole world changes. So you're like, okay, well, I guess I can't be idealistic or have dreams like this. I have to be practical. I mean, this is what you think as like a 14, 15-year-old. And I held on to a lot of resentment and a lot of pain. And I think that showed up later in life. You know, I would be like, oh, my parents can't come to my recital. It's fine. It's okay. But of course, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I would be very upset. Just the thought of, you know, I just because I know that my parents were really into watching me perform and just to feel my mother's pain on the phone and knowing that she couldn't do anything, you know, she was helpless and so was I.
Later on, I think after you graduated from high school, correct me if I've got, I want to be sure I have this right.
Sure.
That you talk about the fact that you went into a very deep depression.
Oh, yeah.
And even, you know, thought about taking your own life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a sense as to, I mean, there was a lot going on in your life, but how much of that sort of was related to the fact that you had been separated from your family since,
well,
from the age of 14?
Well, I think for a while I didn't think it was. I thought it was just I was messed up and I thought that I was depressed because I wasn't good enough for what I wanted to do. I wasn't a good enough student. I wasn't a good enough artist. I wasn't a good enough daughter, friend, person. You know, I felt like I was all alone. I felt like I had nothing. And I thought that I was nothing. I mean, obviously I knew it had something to do with the fact that my family was separated, but I was still kind of not addressing that. And I was just putting it all on myself and that this behavior was because of who I was as a person. And so, of course, when I realized that it was so much about the trauma that I experienced, then it all started to make sense. The grief, the denial, the self-hate, you know, all that. And that's why I decided, I mean, when I decided to write this book and or even come forth is because I knew the psychological and emotional damage that my family separation had on me and how often we overlook people in this situation, real human beings in this situation, families. And so I wanted to talk about what people go through.
Yeah.
And I wanted people to connect because sometimes we feel like, well, they broke the law, so that's it. You're out of here. You know, it's like I understand when people say that, but I feel like sometimes they don't know all the facts. I mean, I saw a tweet that said, this is the same story. The facts are the facts. This is just a story with more detail. And it's like, well, fine. But does that mean that my story is invaluable? Does that mean you shouldn't care about me? Does that mean that I deserved everything that happened to me? No.
So it feels kind of amazing that the role that you're playing on this, like, you know, huge hit show in a way touches aspects of your own life because your parents, of course, were, you know, were arrested. And now you're playing the role of an inmate in a women's prison.
Yeah.
Does that resonate in any way? Do you think about that?
Yeah,
ever?
Of course. Yeah. I'd struggle with, wow, am I, like, I'm playing an inmate and I know people who are in jail or I know people who really experience this. And I felt like, was I playing with this? Was it just play for me? But I realized that it wasn't. This is just my life and I'm playing an inmate and I'm just telling a story that people appreciate because a lot of people are going through this. And I feel people, you know, can appreciate a Disney story and a fantasy story. But I think that we as human beings appreciate true stories and stories that reflect what's going on in the real world.
Your parents must love that you've been so successful. Do you still hold on to the dream that you might someday reunite with them in the United States?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I say it all the time. My biggest dream is to, you know, invite my mom for like a girl's night, you know, and like wake up and have her make me pancakes in my house, and, you know, and maybe one day when I have a child, you know, her to be able to go to the hospital with me here and watch my child grow up. Hey, mom, I need to go for this meeting. Can you watch little Penelope or whatever her name will be? I want that.
Do you think it'll ever happen?
I hope. But, you know, we've lived this long accepting our circumstances and, you know, making it work that way. So if that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. But I'm fighting. I'm going to fight for them.
Well, Diane Guerrero's new book is In the Country We Love. She's also one of the stars of the Netflix series Orange is the New Black, which has its fourth season premiere on June 17th.
That's right, yeah.
Diane, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us and sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me.